Welcome to hour number two of this week's big two-hour installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and here again is your host, Carol Marks, in conversation with Sarah Davidson, a New York Times bestselling author of 8 books. She's going to talk to Carol about her latest. It's called The December Project, An Extraordinary Rabbi and a Skeptical Seeker Confront Life's Greatest Mystery, published by Harper One.
How surprised were you when in 2009... 85-year-old Rabbi Zalman called you and asked you if you wanted to work with him on what he called the December Project. And what did the rabbi tell you he wanted to create through this project?
He said, when you can feel that you're coming to the end of your tour of duty and your hard drive is running slow, what is the spiritual work of this time, and how do we prepare for the mystery? He wanted to help people not freak out about dying and show them how what he called getting up close with mortality enables us to have a richer and more grateful life.
And he said it so well.
I jumped at the chance to spend time with him because he's beloved by legions of people. He founded the Jewish Renewal Movement. He's a universalist. He's an honorary sheikh in the Sufi movement. He was close with the Christian author Thomas Merton. He was friends with the Dalai Lama, and he has an extraordinary sense of humor. He's brilliant and loving. So everybody wants to be with him, and I was totally surprised that he asked me to do this work with him.
And do you think that he asked you because he knew you were a skeptic and you really were not a believer that there was an afterlife after death?
I definitely am not a true believer in anything. I have a seeker's heart. My heart wants to travel any road if it may lead to wisdom and improvement and a better life and enlightenment. And then my mind comes along and points out all the cracks in the paving. You know, this doesn't make sense. That's illogical. And I loved him, and I was born Jewish, but I'm not strictly observant. So I wasn't a devotee. I think that's one reason. And also, we had met decades earlier. I had interviewed him for an article, and he felt he could trust me to convey and communicate what was in his heart and mind at this time.
And didn't you feel a lot more comfortable when Rabbi Zalman said to you he really didn't want to convince you of anything? He just wanted to loosen your mind. And doesn't that mean if you're going to loosen your mind, you've got to be more comfortable with your mortality, and you've got to be able to separate your outer body from your inner soul? And boy, a lot of us have trouble doing that.
That's one of the biggest challenges. You know, we spent 2 years together meeting every Friday, and during those 2 years, his health deteriorated at a rate that was much steeper than he expected. He had all kinds of problems with his heart, with his eyes, with his lungs, with his feet, and he felt like he was spending all his time going to doctors and healers and treatments and pills and tests. And he said, we really need a kind of armament for this process that happens when the body starts shutting down, or at least getting weaker. And he said part of it is what he called disidentifying with the body. In other words, in all spiritual traditions, there's a sense that who we are is not the body. It's something that resides in the body, but it is not the body. If your body were immobilized, or you lost your arms, or even you're paralyzed, the being that you recognize as you would still exist. So he said it's like look at yourself from across the room and you can say, oh, the poor body, it served me so well, I'm sorry that you're hurting. And that you still have that separation or that distance. Now, it's not easy to do. He was having trouble with it. And, you know, whenever I go to the dentist, I try it.
Me too. You know what I think is so helpful about your book, as you say, it touches on some of the things that we go through when we are facing our mortality and how we can better deal with them. And that's really important. And one of them you mentioned was pain management, and in the part of your book that talks about pain management. You have some exercises to help people with it. And can you tell us about the one that talks about meditating between contractions? Because I found that quite intriguing.
Yes. When a woman is giving birth, she has great pain when the contractions come. But in between the contractions, there is a space where she can relax and take a breath. So what Reb Zalman told me, and what's in this book, The December Project, and part of, I want to say there are 12 exercises in it so that anybody who wants to take up this project can do so by looking at and thinking about and following these exercises. And one of them is that if you're in great pain, first of all, understand and tell your body this is not going to last forever. Even if you have a fatal disease, there are moments of space between the contractions of pain. When the pain is coming on strong, there's nothing you can do except ride it through. Like a woman giving birth, she breathes and tries to get through the contraction. But then there's a moment where there's a break, and that's the time when you can restore yourself and tune into love and gratitude. Meditate if you wish, or pray, but mostly just relax and be in that inner place where there is love and warmth.
And then you tackle in the book another tough topic that you talked with the rabbi about, and that was memory loss. And that must have been really tough for you because your mother was going through the various stages of Alzheimer's. And what did she say? Because, again, I was, you know, really said, oh, my goodness, because she said she wasn't afraid to lose her memory. And what did she mean?
My mother had something that is called pleasantly demented. She was pleasantly demented, meaning that as she began losing her memory, she became happier and calmer. It was the most amazing transition. She was a critical person who was kind of never satisfied. Nothing was ever quite good enough. As she became demented, she lost her memory of anything that had happened outside the moment. So everything that happened was just wonderful. And I was terrified, nonetheless, of losing my memory because there's supposed to be a genetic component. And not only did my mother have Alzheimer's, but both her parents had dementia. So every time I would forget why I was walking into a room or where I put my phone, I would panic and think, it's starting, this is the beginning, I'm getting Alzheimer's. And I asked Reb Zalman, what should I do when that panic comes up? Because I saw in my mother's case that it wasn't so bad. It was certainly preferable to being racked with pain from a terrible disease. She was happy all the time. She was living in the moment. But nonetheless, every time my memory starts to be less than reliable, I would panic. And he said, when you have that panic, go inside to the place where there is presence. Because even a person with advanced Alzheimer's who can't recognize you and doesn't remember their own name, they're still aware that they exist. There's a presence there, and it responds to love. And if you can go inside when you're worried about where you put your keys and tune into that presence, that I am here, I exist, and I can sense the field around me, and this presence is more important than where my keys are.
You know, such good and practical advice. Now I want to touch on something that I think is really important and so interesting that Reb Zalman said when he was talking with other leaders of other faiths. And what he had to say was that all forms of religions are masks that the divine wears to communicate with us, and so there is a reality prospect to all religions.
Yes. He has a very interesting life story. He was born in Poland, had to run with his family to escape the Nazis. They barely did. And ended up in Brooklyn, New York, where he was taken in by a very Orthodox Jewish sect called the Lubavitchers. And they're the men with black hats and long black coats and curly sideburns and long beards that you may see occasionally in urban areas. And he fell in love with this tradition because they had this passionate yearning for God. But they were very restricted. They weren't allowed to read books about other, you know, that were not Jewish books. They weren't allowed to go see a movie because it might disorient them and expose them to things they shouldn't know, think about. They weren't allowed to touch a woman if she wasn't in their immediate family, or hear her voice, or look at her. They had to cast their eyes aside because it would distract them from thoughts of God. And as he grew up, he began to be curious about what was outside this narrow community. And he started reading all the forbidden books. And in the 60s, he took LSD with Timothy Leary. He met Thomas Merton. And he read philosophy and psychology. And that's what came him to realize that everything he'd learned as an Orthodox Jew was valuable, but it was also being done by people in other faiths to get to the same place of oneness and light and love. And that's what made him become a universalist. And he founded a new branch of Judaism called Jewish Renewal that attempts to incorporate practices like Buddhist meditation and yoga within the Jewish tradition. It allows men and women to pray together and be together. And it's just open to renewing Judaism in this current world in a way that will help people who were turned off by the temples or synagogues they were forced to attend when they were young that was boring and didn't seem to respond to their own inner questions. This was responsive. Anything was permissible to ask. And he was a universalist. He saw that every faith is, as he put it, the divine uses a different mask to communicate with different people. For people who are Christian, what he said is the log on to the infinite is Jesus. For Buddhists, it's the concept of emptiness. For Jews, it's a Torah scroll. But they're all just different masks that the same divine essence resides behind.
Sarah Davidson in conversation with Carol Marx. Her book is called The December Project, An Extraordinary Rabbi and a Skeptical Seeker Confront Life's Greatest Mystery, published by Harper One.
A domain name is your key to doing business around the world, right from your office, living room, or even your couch. And finding the right name is as easy as a domain name search at hostingforcheap.com. Just enter the domain you want in the search box and we'll give you the results, along with similar domains you may not have considered. Most people looking for goods or services start on the web. Unfortunately, many small businesses can't afford to pay someone else to build their website. That's where hostingforcheap.com comes in. We can show you how to create a website for yourself, because hostingforcheap.com isn't just about domain names. It's a one-stop shop for anything you need to get online, from building your own website to attracting new customers to securing their data when they make a purchase. Hostingforcheap.com has you covered from the moment you decide you want to put your business on the web. That's hostingforcheap.com. Hostingforcheap.com. Hostingforcheap.com.
In this next conversation, Carol Marx speaks with Mary Roach. She's called America's Funniest Science Writer, according to the Washington Post, and she's going to talk about her latest, Gulp, G-U-L-P, Adventures on the Alimentary Canal, published by W.W. Norton and Company.
Now, why did you want to write about the digestive tract in the first place?
Oh, because, like you said, it's something that doesn't get written about very much, and therefore I thought it would be something fresh for a book. It's a bit of a taboo topic, and I tend to gravitate toward those topics. I find them fascinating. So that was the...
I do, too.
Right up my alley.
Now, starting with the mouth, where we first encounter food, the saliva is amazing. I learned so much from your book, and starting with a baby's drool, I never thought about it, but it does have an important function.
It does, yes. Babies, because they don't have teeth to chew, saliva, in a sense, helps them chew. It has an enzyme that breaks down fat, and mother's milk is mostly, it's got a lot of fat in it, so that enables them to start the digestion right in their mouths. They have more of this enzyme than adults do. It's something that's unique to babies' drool. And babies also, the other reason they drool, they have a lot of saliva because they need to be breaking down the milk, but also because they don't have teeth to hold it, lower teeth to hold it in their mouths.
Well, you know what? Yeah. I feel better about all my children's drool that I had to wipe up now because it was important. So there you go. Now, also, when we kiss our children's boo-boos, I never realized that there's an important substance in our saliva that really helps their cuts.
Yes, there's skin growth factor, it's called, and nerve growth factor. So, and something called histatins, which help with closing wounds. And believe it or not, people have done studies where they were rodent studies that they did, where they looked at if they interfered with the ability to produce saliva, the animal's wounds took a lot longer to heal. So it's counterintuitive. You think of saliva as being full of germs and likely to infect you, but it's gotten a bit of a bum rap because it has a lot of healing properties.
Now, saliva has important enzymes in it, and I was also amazed to find out from your book that our higher-end detergents contain at least 3 enzymes. So tell us about them.
Yes, they're laundry detergent is kind of a digestive tract in a box. They've got, I mean, obviously there's cleaning agents that we don't have.
We hope so.
Those enzymes are lipase, proteinase, amylase. They break down starch, fat, and protein. And the things that you're putting in your mouth are also, you're putting in your body are also things you drop in your lap while you're eating. So it makes sense that, it was kind of a great idea to apply those same enzymes to the cleaning process that helps break down stains. So, I had no idea. I love that. And art conservators use saliva to clean very delicate surfaces that something harsher might damage. So they'll take, moisten a Q-tip with their saliva and do a little spot cleaning. So it's quite an amazing substance.
It sure is. And talking about our stomach, where all our food goes to get digested, why doesn't it digest itself, or does it?
It digests itself to a certain extent. It also rebuilds itself. So you have it rebuilds its own lining frequently. Also, the components of gastric juices are created in two separate types of cell, and then when they are released, they come together. So kind of like epoxy comes into those two tubes, because if they were together, they'd glue the tube shut. So you don't want the gastric acids destroying the cells that make them. So they are secreted in separate cells, and then they combine afterwards so they don't destroy their creators. So it's kind of a specialized system in there.
It's amazing, because when you look at everything that's in your book, the gulp and the stomach, you have more awe about how intricately it's designed and what it does. And talking about what the stomach can swallow, I love from your book about Jonah, because you said he couldn't have been swallowed by a large fish and lived to tell his story.
Yeah, I looked into that. There were some tales way back in the day of whalers who'd gone overboard, and then the whale was brought on the ship, and they heard some sort of sound, and then opened up the whale, and lo and behold, this sailor was alive. So, and that was something, it was actually in the New York Times, but someone very thoroughly investigated that. And in fact, the only whale that would work would be the sperm whale, because it feeds by suction, and it has a large enough opening to get something the size of a human in there, and there's no gastric acid. But the problem, if you were a person inside a sperm whale's stomach, first of all, you'd need an oxygen supply. Perhaps a scuba tank would do the trick, but you would be subject to some powerful contractions. Whales sort of chew their food with their stomach. You would have this very powerful crushing going on. So certainly not a comfortable place to take up residence.
I would say not. Now, I was surprised that when it comes to our stomach, the people with large stomachs are no more likely to be obese. So I want to ask about that. And also, they have all these eating contests. So I would think that a stomach could rupture with all that food. And why don't they?
The human stomach has some pretty impressive safety mechanisms. If you overfill it to an alarming degree, like a competitive eater does, or someone with bulimia sometimes, there are reflexes that kick in, one being just a simple burp. If you have a lot of gas building up, say you had too much bicarbonate of soda or a lot of something yeasty or just carbonated, you burp. That relieves the pressure. And, you know, you don't want to have too much pressure that you don't want to have a rupture. If you're packing away an alarming amount of food, the next safety reflex is to throw up. And I spoke with competitive eaters, and I said, well, how do you get around this? This is a reflex that happens automatically to prevent your stomach from rupturing. And they said, oh, it happens. It happens. We just swallow it back down.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. He said the rules are you
not
can't
a pretty
throw
picture.
It. Yeah, you can't come out. It can come up. It just can't come out. So it's part of the, I guess it's just part of the training for being a competitive eater, not a sport I'll be going in for anytime soon.
And if you have a large stomach, that doesn't mean you're going to be fatter.
No, someone looked at stomach size and obesity and found no correlation.
Very good. Now, we eat all kinds of food. What are the most dangerous foods on earth for us to swallow and why?
The most dangerous foods, particularly if you're very young, if you're a child and you have your swallowing coordination is just coming in, it's very dangerous for kids to be given something round like a slice of hot dog or a grape or a hard candy. Because if they're laughing and they inhale while they're eating, that can lodge in the windpipe, and it's the same shape and diameter, so it's impossible to take a breath around it. So it's a treacherous item.
Mary Roach, in conversation with Carol Marks, America's funniest science writer, and her book is called Gulp, Adventures on the Alimentary Canal, published by W.W. Norton and Company. I'm Michael Harrison. Coming up next, Richard Neer joins us when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on matchingdonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. Matchingdonors.com improves those odds by finding living altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to matchingdonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's matchingdonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security web pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
This is a Driving Today Minute. Even though high gasoline prices have moderated somewhat, they're still quite high. It just makes good sense to do what you can do to reduce your fuel costs. The Alliance to Save Energy suggests a few easy things you can do.
Keep your car properly tuned up and change the air filter regularly, both to save gas and protect your engine. Curtail aggressive driving, according to the U.S. Department of Energy. Speeding, rapid acceleration, and hard braking waste gas and curb mileage by as much as 33% at highway speeds.
So nix the jackrabbit starts and opt instead for slow acceleration from a dead stop. Slow down. The DOE says each mile per hour you drive over 60 is like paying an extra 10 cents per gallon. Inflate tires to the proper pressure. This will increase fuel economy and make tires safer and extend their life.
This Driving Today Minute is brought to you by Bridgestone Firestone Tires. You can get more information like this at drivingtoday.com or by visiting our partners such as autobytel.com, motorsportsforum.com, and more.
You're listening to A Touch of Gray. check out our website at atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. That's atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Continuing now with Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we come to the final segments of our two-hour broadcast, and we'll be joined the rest of the way by our senior correspondent, Richard Neer, who just a few minutes from now is going to be speaking with Amy Matthews, who hosts shows on HGTV and DIY. And some of these shows are Renovation Raiders, Suite Equity, Bathroom Renovations, Blog Cabin, and The New House. And she'll be sharing tips on renovating our homes this summer. Richard, I like that blog cabin. I love whenever I hear these cute terms that I always wonder.
Do you know what blog cabin is?
No idea.
It's a show where they build a house, and they basically put it on the website, and they say, okay, do you want walnut floors? Do you want wood floors? Do you want carpet floors? And people actually vote. And they build this cabin according to what people vote that their preferences are.
Well, that's kind of a novel idea, and it comes out completely average. it's a house built on average is a word that did you see that article in the New York Times by Thomas Friedman about the word average? Actually, he had four words, I believe, that are becoming obsolete, and one of them was average.
See, now, in average, though, I have a dispute with his theory here, because he's saying that average is no longer acceptable. You have to be above average. But to me, once you do that, you're just raising the bar, so average becomes higher.
Well, a lot of people don't understand statistics and math. For example, if you were to say to people, I'm voting for the candidate who promises that everybody in this country is going to be making more than the mean income.
We're going to, everybody will make above the average income. Of course, that is mathematically impossible. But, you know what? Why don't we talk a little bit about the Thomas Friedman article? It kind of is a jump-off point, because you and I often talk about how contemporary culture is changing in terms of words and in terms of concepts. And I'll just, we'll save this for after your Amy Matthews conversation. But basically, to set the stage for those listening, the words were privacy, average, later, and local. Those are the four words that Thomas Friedman said are disappearing from our culture. Richard and I will explore that. Coming up next, though, we're going to build a blog cabin and other interesting things about home improvement. And that's next with Richard Neer. I'm Michael Harrison, and you're plugged in to A Touch of Gray.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security web pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said you're the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly. That's socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. And as promised, here is our senior correspondent, Richard Neer, in conversation with Amy Matthews. She hosts shows on HGTV and DIY, including Renovation Raiders, Sweet Equity, Bathroom Renovations, the aforementioned Blog Cabin, and The New House. She's going to share tips on renovating your home this summer.
Amy Matthews. Amy hosts that program where they come in, they send some people out to dinner. This is incredible. And when they come back after their dinner, their whole kitchen is different. Did you have the idea for that show, or did somebody approach you on that?
You know, the network had some people kind of working on it. Sometimes I work on pre-production with them, and sometimes they come up. And this one was kind of a brainchild of several people, and we thought it was just the most fantastic idea because nobody else is doing it. There's no TV magic. We're actually getting in there. I have the most amazing group of contractors, and we do it with an, I think, incredible design, in my opinion, and we do it in the detail that we would do our own houses. So it's a crazy undertaking, but we're really proud of it. I just love working on it. It's insanity.
Yeah, it leads people to believe that this stuff can be done just like that all the time. And obviously in the real world with contractors, you know, you've got them scheduled, you've got them all working. Electricians hate to work when plumbers are there and vice versa. So this is an anomaly.
Yes. You know what? It's all about the chain of events that happen in contracting. So I don't recommend trying to do it in a weekend. I'll tell you a lot of things you can do in a weekend. But the planning is everything. We could not pull these things off without the planning. But that's something that every homeowner needs to do when they're starting projects. You know, you're going to look around your house. You're going to figure out, number one, maintenance is most important. Figure out the things that need to be done to keep your house running efficiently and potentially, you know, prevent damage to your home that could cost thousands of dollars. And then look at the decor changes or design changes you want to make. So you have a list of those things, and then set your budget accordingly. We all start with a plan and a budget. And so your budget, don't forget to set 10% aside of that budget for contingencies. We never know what we're going to find when we open a wall, and you probably won't either. Or there might be a design, a decor product that you want to buy that you didn't plan on spending that much. And that contingency is going to help you not go over budget. And I'm always looking for deals. I actually just teamed up with Chase Freedom because they're doing a special thing that is very specific to home improvers. They're giving their cardholders a cash back of 5% on anything you spend at Lowe's up to $1,500. So, you know, those are the deals you should look for. Ways in which you're not even saving money on product yet, but you're just finding deals that are out there that can help you stretch that budget a little further. And then you can get into the fun part of looking for those great deals on the product that you're going to be putting in.
And you talk about planning. I find it very interesting because I bought a house last July, a vacation house, basically. And when I came in and saw the house for the first time, I'm going to change this, I'm going to change that, I'm going to change everything. My realtor said, why don't you live in it for a while before you do anything? That was great advice because I found that half the stuff that I wanted to do, I didn't need to do and shouldn't do, but I was ready to do it the first day I moved in, you know?
Absolutely. That's funny that they said that because that is literally one of the, I just said that to someone yesterday. I said, live in your space before you change it up. It's kind of like when someone goes to build a house, people always finish, they think they're doing their dream space, they spend all this time planning, and even when they build something new that is completely their idea, they get to the end of the project and they go, gosh, I would have done this different or that different. So live in your space. And if your space is kind of finished and you're looking at adding other components, and you might be spending big bucks on it, I always step back from the project that I'm focusing on, and I ask, why am I doing this, and how will it enhance my life in this space? How will it enhance the home if I'm going to sell it? And when you ask that why at the beginning, you might change your idea about what project needs to be done and what's actually going to enhance your life in that space, and that's going to save you money and a headache.
You know, I mean, sometimes we get contradictory advice on that. Sometimes people say, you know what, make it just for you. Do whatever you want that's going to make your life better. And then some say, well, wait a minute, think about resale. You're going to do this and nobody's going to want to buy it. Where do you fall on that?
It's called flexible space. Keep it flexible. You know, when we do a lot of things on Raiders that we try and do specific to the homeowners. We don't just go in there and do a design based on whatever we want to do. The one thing that the spouse or the partner can tell us is they like modern. Okay, so we're going to go with a modern design. And we always try and specify it for someone. In fact, in last season, we did something for these homeowners where they were health nuts, and we added a juice bar because they were big juicers, and it takes up room on your kitchen counter. But it was a little tiny area in the kitchen that could be transitioned to any type of wet bar, which was great. So someone comes in, it's not that specific. And then there was a wall that we added in the kitchen, kind of an unusable space, and we put in a media center for their daughters to work, a place for their iPads to sit right on the wall, some shelving. Well, that could work great as a home office. It could actually work great as just an extension of the kitchen. You're having a gathering food going on there. So the key word is flexible space. You're going to live in it. It should be specific to you. And if you know, you can think about the homeowner down the line. Architectural integrity is number one to me. Don't put something in a house that isn't appropriate. You don't have to restore it, but but do something appropriate for the age and the style of the house. And that's going to help you with resale value, because someone that walks into a Craftsman house doesn't want to see a modern kitchen. You know, an example of how you can keep it flexible.
Funny you mentioned juicers, because I've worked with a lot of them. They turn out to be my subcontractors usually, but that's another story.
Absolutely. Keep an eye out for that. Licensed people are the best. That you have to get someone that's on point and that you get along with, because you have a relationship with your subs and your contractors. And half of contracting, I joke, is, you know, marriage counseling, because you're trying to get the people together who live there on the same page, and then you're trying to have a relationship with the contractor, the homeowner. So that's just as important as someone's kind of business motto.
Amy, we've had a long, hard winter in most of the country. Are there any specific things this spring that one should look at with their house because of the winter that we've had?
Yes, our houses have taken a beating. Here's my hit list. There's so many things that can be done, but I like to start at the top. Look at your roof. Make sure that there isn't any disrepair, something from ice dam, something from wind damage. If there is anything missing or in disrepair, call a pro in immediately to have that fixed. That is your first defense against water infiltration on the envelope of your home that can cause thousands of dollars of damage. Then the cheapest, easiest thing, it's free for DIYers, is cleaning out your gutters. Get that water, spring water, moving off and away from your house and away from the foundation. And then as you go down to your siding, a lot of people think that maybe I need to replace it, maybe I need to restain it, maybe I need to repaint. But a lot of times, a nice power washing from the top down is going to really renew that. And then you can look at areas that need patching or freshening up. But give it that spray down. And same with the deck. It's a great place in the spring to look at an area that's been pounded by the winter. And if you live in areas, you know, that are getting all those four seasons, it wreaks havoc on your deck. So, again, power wash that down, fix anything in disrepair, screws sticking up, nails, any boards that need to be fixed, and then give it a nice new coat of stain. Not only is it going to make it look beautiful, but it's really going to extend the life of that. And when you're talking about hardscaping, you don't want to spend your money on something that you had to replace, where if you just done the needed maintenance, it would last a lot longer. And then finally, just go down to your basement. If you've got a sump pump down there, make sure it's working, because there will be the spring rains coming, which we will be glad that it's not snow, but you want to make sure that the water is getting out of your basement. So just make sure that sump pump is in top condition.
Now, after you're done with your maintenance, you mentioned weekend projects before. Now, we can't do it in the 4 or 5 hours that you do it on the show, but what are the most impactful weekend projects that the DIYer can take on?
Well, if you have 8 best friends that are contractors, you can do what we do. So if that's going to work for you, call them in. But for the regular DIYer, there's so many different things. First, don't underestimate a coat of paint. And like we said earlier, this is not something that has to be beige or flexible. Do it for you, because you can easily change it out at any time. It's so cheap, so easy. What it does is it changes the palette of the room, but even things in the room that you thought looked old, they're going to look new again in that new space. Kitchens and baths are what people always ask me about. And if they just need an update, the knobs and the faucets in there, getting something new and fresh completely changes the look. And, of course, the lighting is a big factor. Changes the ambiance, it task lighting, general lighting, ambient lighting. Changing that and freshening up is a great thing to do. And then in the kitchen as well, the backsplashes are it's like the art piece or the bling. It's an easy weekend project, definitely a doable DIY project, and there's so many different products you can use depending on your style. You know, there's cork backing, acrylic panels, there's tin backsplash, there's all the natural stone and ceramic. And so lots to choose from, and put a little under cabinet lighting in there to brighten up the beautiful art piece of backsplash that you just put on, and you've got, I mean, an amazing change in your space in a weekend.
Final thing, let me give you an either or. Carpets need replacing, but people say now, boy, we need hardwood floors. That's what we want. What's better? I mean, what would you recommend? Carpeting, redoing the whole carpet, or go to hardwood floors?
Hardwood floors. I mean, on average, they add about $10,000 value. It depends on your area and the quality of everything done, but $10,000 to the value of a home just by walking in and seeing hardwood. People much prefer it. Carpets, you just don't know what cat or other things have been sitting on there, and you can't ever get them completely clean. They're appropriate for certain areas of the house, absolutely. Hardwood in other places. And if you have an area where you can't put a hardwood down, you want to float it over something because you don't want to rip up linoleum or something that's there, float a hardwood just float it over something that's already there, and it's going to look beautiful. Easy DIY project.
That's Amy Matthews in conversation with Richard Neer, our senior correspondent. And Richard will be back in just a moment to join us to talk a little bit about words that are disappearing from having contemporary meaning. We talked about it earlier. We're going to finish up that topic. I'm Michael Harrison. Just want to remind you, if you want to hear some of the great programs we've done over the years, plus information to help you live better, check out our website, atouchofgray.com. Gray is spelled with an E. A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues in a moment.
You're age 65, and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly. That's socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly.
Carol Marx is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marx offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marx is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
She's conquered some of the most challenging ski courses anywhere, but with only one leg, the odds were against her even walking.
The growth was stunted in my right leg when I was born, and the doctors told my mother we needed to amputate when I was 5 years old.
Bonnie was helped at a Shriners Hospital, one of a network of 22 hospitals helping kids throughout North America. Shriners Hospitals provide world-class orthopedic and burn medical care, and they offer that care totally free of charge.
The care and treatment the Shriners gave me was a gift. It wasn't just about learning to walk. They helped me to believe in myself.
There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area realize their dreams.
If I went back to the Shriners Hospital and talked to the nurses and doctors, I would say thank you. Thank you for making my dreams come true.
If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to GoDirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we're going to continue our conversation with our senior correspondent, Richard Neer. As promised, Richard, a little look at the Thomas Friedman New York Times piece on the disappearance of such words as privacy, average, later, and local. I think that the most important word there is privacy. I mean, I don't even care if we talk about average, later, and local. Privacy, I think, is the two things that we're going to be in need of as the years go by is fresh water and privacy. Those are the two things that I'm fearful about losing.
I think it's almost a generational thing in that our generation values privacy. We don't want people to know our business and what we're doing in our private lives. But I think because of Facebook and Instagram and all these picture sites, selfies, people are just putting it out there. And it's kind of nice in that you know everything that's going on about everybody. But it's kind of bad because not everything we do should see the light of day because there are so many people out there who will not approve of the things that we do, and some of those people are in a position to affect our lives, like our employers, for example.
Yeah, who there's some places that they want to see your Facebook page before they hire you, and you know what's ironic? If you tell them, I don't have a Facebook page, then they think you're antisocial and they don't hire you. I've known a few people who've lost job opportunities because they didn't have Facebook pages. They figured there's something wrong with you. It's like saying, I don't have a telephone, or I don't watch television, or, you know, you don't have a Facebook page. What the hell's wrong with you? They figure you're antisocial. My fear about this, I think half, if not 90% of the stuff out there on these social media things are baloney, that people have these fake personas that they're putting out there. What troubles me is the means of communication are impossible to get rid of, and they provide a venue for snoopers, for the government, for business, for commercial interests, for old enemies to get into your life.
Well, France is actually trying to pass a law in France where things are wiped out, that Google will take things over 20 years old that happened in your life and wipe them out so that you can't access them. So if you had a youthful indiscretion at age 20 and you're now 50 years old and running for office or running a company, that information will be redacted.
Yeah, well, but the fact is that the technology is there to even overcome that. Again, you can't get the genie back in the bottle or the toothpaste back in the tube. And I can't think of any other cliches.
But that isn't that the problem, though, that nothing, any conversation you have, whether it's on the telephone, an email communication, a Twitter, an instant message, can be located by the right people, and you have to be very, very careful about what you say.
Yeah, you can't kid around, too. You see, that's another thing. Mm-hmm. If you have a private conversation, you're saying to somebody something that is based on the humor you share with them, satire. Just being provocative, sometimes being nasty as art, as opposed to really being what you think. We all understand what we're saying. That could taken out of context, portray you as some type of a hater or a criminal or devious, when in fact you could be one of the finest people in the world. And it's amazing how...
Well, I'm just wondering how we're going to have a sense of humor in the future if everything we say in jest is taken literally.
I think it's going to change. I think that the world we're living in right now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, certainly 100 years from now, will be looked upon as silly and as warped as we look at a lot of the habits and cultural, norms of the past. We don't have enough time to get into all the others. Let's keep this as a running theme, though, because it's interesting stuff. Richard, always a pleasure talking to you, and we look forward to next week. Richard Neer, ladies and gentlemen, one of our senior correspondents here on A Touch of Gray. Thank you to Richard. Thank you to Kevin Casey. Thank you to Steve Wiseman. Beverly Santanella, thank you for your excellent work as our producer. And certainly a big thanks to Carol Marks, the host and founder of the program. I'm Michael Harrison on behalf of all of us here, inviting you to join us next weekend for another 2-hour installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for rockers.